What's up, guys? Welcome back to We Have Cool Friends, our cool show where we interview our cool friends about their cool lives. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, and joining me today is one of the most talented, one of the most versatile, one of the strongest willed human beings I have ever had the pleasure of meeting, Lucy Camp. How you doing?
Hey, Tim. Thank you.
It's nice. Been such a long time in the making to have you on any piece of kind of funny content. It's crazy that, like, I've known you now for years, and you've been putting out amazing music. I've been talking on all the different shows about how amazing all your projects are. But to finally get you here is really exciting for me.
That's sweet. Thank you, Tim. I mean, you're always yassing me up on the internet, and I'm like, That's too much.
You're living up to it, though. You're living to it. And I'm excited to do this interview because you've been putting out a lot of projects. You just put out a new EP, and I want everyone to go check that out. Yes, and we're going to talk. Oh, there you go.
Maybe.
Mine's in the mail. It's on the way. I got the notification, so that's nice. Of course, got to rep the Lucy Camp merch, a shirt that you've probably seen many times on the different shows. But this is We Have Cool Friends. It is our interview show here on Kind of Funny, where, like I said, we get to interview our cool friends about all the cool stuff that they're doing. Normally, you can watch the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames on Tuesdays. But because this is Hispanic Heritage Week, we were like, we got to go all out with the guest. And this is the perfect fit for Lucy with the music that she makes. So double it up, having this extra bonus episode on Friday. Shout out to our Patreon producer, Muhammad. If you want to write into the show with your questions for the friend zone section that we do, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. And we appreciate you all very much. Today, we are brought to you by HBO Max and Upstart, but I will tell you about that later. Let's just start it off with a real simple question. Yes. Who are you?
Who am I? Well, I'm a 23-year-old Latina from the east side of San Jose, and I rap. I've been making music since I was, I started writing raps when I was 12, but started recording songs when I was 15. So I'm a rapper.
And you're damn good at it too. It's crazy because I've always been into rap music, and specifically in kind of the underground scenes, and being from the Bay Area, born and raised San Francisco, I always kind of like paid attention to a lot of the Team Backpack stuff and a lot of the ciphers and the different things that would go on. And that's actually how I first saw you, Lucy, was the YouTube ciphers that you used to do that were kind of Bay Area focused.
Yeah, with the Cypher Effect. Thank God. I mean, shout out to the Cypher Effect. They gave me a platform, and I'm grateful for that. I have a lot of supporters that stick with me, or that have stuck with me today, like from the Cypher Effect. So I'm really grateful because I started when I was 16. Like my first Cypher, I was 16. And I remember talking to George, the guy who created Cypher Effect, who runs the Cypher Effect. And he was like, how old are you? I was like, 16. He was like, no way.
I mean,
everybody
it's
else
crazy.
Is 18 and older, and it's dope though. Like, and I'm still in touch with some of the people on the Cypher Effect, so that's cool that you found me on there.
Yeah, no, I mean it's actually kind of crazy because you were 16, which is unbelievable, and now you're 23, which there you go, Baird. Everyone should go check out the YouTube video there. But you have grown so much in that time, and a little bit of a background for everyone watching at home. Anybody that is a fan of Kind of Funny knows the kind of story of me and Tone Deaf, and how I was such a big fan of him and his work for so long that his kind of record label and all that really influenced Kind of Funny and how we do things in our Kind of Funny live events and all of that. And we've had him on the show countless times. He's done so much of our music and stuff. Super dope dude. He is actually your producer. So he also saw your Cypher Effect videos, and you guys have been working together since when?
Since 2015, I had him listed as one of my influences on Facebook, actually, him and my hip hop teacher from when I was a freshman in high school. And it was so funny because, like, I remember opening up my email and seeing just like this huge like paragraph, and then like who it was from. Like, my name is Tone Deaf. And I was like, I know Tone Deaf. Like, this is the guy that I love, that, like, in a way, when it comes to rap, that I idolize. So I was just like, that's crazy. And so, of course, I contacted him back, and then, like, you know, we linked up, and I got to go to New York for the first time. My dad got to come with me. And he was like, my dad was a different person in New York. It was crazy. It was so weird to see him like that.
In what way?
He was like normally he was like a strict Mexican dad. And like there, he was just like a friend. And it was like almost like uncomfortable for me. And then I'd never seen him like that before. Like, oh, this is weird. And he really likes Tone. Like him and Tone, like he talked to Tone more than I did on that trip. And the first trip, I remember that.
So well, that, you know, that's actually, that's a funny thing that you bring up because, so that was back in 2015. And that was, I want to say the first year I met you as well, because Tone was working on his Polymer project and he was making the documentary and he wanted me to be in it. And our boy, Sean Finnegan, was helping shoot and he wanted us to shoot your bit as well because you were in San Jose. So yeah. You came over to Finnegan's house and we met and we shot your interview and obviously you were great. But that turned into us then later. We kind of funny, essentially produced your music video for The Heart Dies. Yeah. And we, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Barrett. Yeah. We like, that was a weekend of us going all in. Ooh, if you guys have heard the story, it was a lot. It was a lot. It was like two, like 12 hour days, like back to back. And, what's so funny about it is we've told the story of us doing the shoot where Kevin ran into the glass door. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
And like busted his head. It's like, God damn, Kev, slow down.
We literally, like, nobody could break that mirror. Like, it was crazy. And then when it broke, it wasn't even on camera. Just, it was.
You're literally wearing my bomber jacket.
Oh my god, shot. I am. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I remember. That is
so funny. But yeah, so like this is when we really got to know you a bit more because we spent so much time with you. But even then, this was I don't know, 2016, I want to say maybe early 2017. Yeah,
2017.
June 21st, 2017
is when it went up.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And that's crazy because back then you were still you're so different than you are now. Like you were kind of more shy. You were to yourself. You were like super polite. Not that you're not polite now, but I feel like you've really found yourself over these last couple of years.
Oh yeah. I think like, cause when I met Tone, I remember him telling me that I was super closed off and I was shy. And like, I think that's me naturally, but I think I've grown a lot since then. And then obviously what happened last year, I see things a little differently and I just feel like I am coming into my own, not just as an artist, but as a person and kind of knowing what I want now, I guess, out of life. But yeah, like The Heart Dies shoot, I remember when we had the meeting with Sean and all everybody and just kind of like listening to everybody talk and like kind of direct. I'd never done anything like as big as that before. So I was like, ooh, this is cool. And I remember like the last shot, Sean was like hanging over me with the huge camera and like kind of being afraid that he was going to drop it on me.
Well, thankfully he did not. He did not do that.
Strong man.
Oh yeah. Sean Finnegan, the strongest man in the world. No, but the thing that I love though is, you know, kind of having seen you grown and especially with you partnering with Tone and you guys working together so much, like you've put out a lot of music in the last 4 years, right? Like we're talking multiple EPs, a mixtape, working on a debut album, a whole Freeverse series. Like it's been crazy to listen to every single release and have every single one sound so different. Yeah, you guys can go to lucycamp.com. All of the different releases are there. But I love it because it really tells a story of you growing as a person. And I know that that's kind of the point of music, right? In so many ways. Right. But you have lived such an insane life in such a small amount of time. Like for people that don't know, what happened last year?
All right. So last year I was in a car accident and it was pretty bad because I almost lost my life to it. And I've gone over this like a million times in my head just from like being in rehab because the injuries I sustained from the accident where I broke my pelvis, my femur, my spine, like the end of my spine, but I didn't hit any nerves. Obviously I'm not paralyzed. I did break like the bone around my eye. I had lacerations, like a small tear in my retina, like all these things. I'd never broken a bone in my body before, but last year I was in a car accident and it is something that I mean, it didn't have to happen. Like it could have been prevented. It's a drunk driving accident for anyone who doesn't know. My friend and I, one night we went out. I drove us there to get drinks with the intention of drinking, not with the intention of blacking out, but that's what happened. And I look back and I'm like, well, what did I expect? You know, when you choose to go somewhere, you drive and then you drink. And you want me to go into detail what happened?
I mean, hey, it's whatever you want to share. Cause like, I will say, first off, don't drink and drive. That is, yeah, it should be the moral of this story. Yeah. Like step Please. One.
Never drink and drive.
I mean, I want you to go into as much detail as you want to, but like, I just want to say from my perspective, like you're saying, oh, I got in a car accident. No. You got in one of the most ridiculous car accidents of all time. And when it happened, Tone texted me and was like, hey man, like some really bad shit happened. Lucy just got in this accident. And like, he was giving me updates, and I'll never forget, me and Gia were at a restaurant, and I was like, we were talking about it. I was like, oh my God. And it sounded like you weren't going to make it. And
I mean, that's what paramedics or highway patrol, whoever, that's what they told my family, that they didn't think I was going to make it.
It was horrible. Yeah. The pictures of you that are in some of your music videos, actually, that you can see for the video for Healing V1, you should check out on her YouTube channel. Like it kind of goes into some of the stuff. Like it was, I'm sure obviously for you it was the worst moment of all time, but like just being somebody like living through it happening to you, like it was so scary, Lucy. Like it was like, holy shit, she's so young. This is the worst thing that could happen. And a little context time-wise is you still have never performed live, and you are about to do your tour. Like you had a tour set.
I was gonna headline in San Francisco for the first time, and I had been practicing for that and rehearsing, and obviously I couldn't afterwards. I remember asking Tone in the hospital over FaceTime, like, am I still gonna do my show?
He's like, no. Like you can't move. But okay, so back to the story of like what happened.
So I'll start from the top. I went over to my dad's that day. I was gonna hang out with my little sister. I called my dad's girlfriend to see if she was like available, and she wasn't. She was busy. So I hit up one of my friends because I was in the area, and so we went out. Well, I picked her up, and we were like, "Oh, what do you want to do?" We're like, "Oh, let's just go drink." So we went to a Keys, and I don't know if you've ever been to a Keys before, but they have swirls, and swirls they will tell you.
Bay Area, baby.
I only ever had one before. I never had more than one. So I want to let you know that night I had three. Mm. And so what happened was, I remember we were sitting and talking and drinking and laughing. And she was like, I'm going to get another one. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to get another one. So we both went. And then it's kind of fuzzy the night. We were sitting outside, like on the patio. And then we were sitting in the inside and just sitting across from each other and talking to people. I don't know, some guy came up to me. She has a video of a guy like hitting on me that night too, but I was out of it because I look at the video, my eyes are like closed the whole time, and I'm just laughing, but I'm gone. And so I don't remember the rest, but what my friend told me happened is we went to the bathroom. There's actually a video of us in the bathroom, just like super drunk. I never showed it to anyone though, out of respect for her. So after that, we went. I don't even know how they gave us three swirls. I heard that the limit is two and they don't allow you to have more. But I don't know how we got away with that. So we went to my car, and she says I gave her the keys. I don't remember this, but she says I gave her the keys, and I was like so gone, like I could barely walk. And so I entered the front seat. So I was in the passenger seat, and I started throwing up. So she moved me to the back seat. And so she was really drunk too, but she didn't black out until we were driving. So
that's the worst statement you could ever make.
She kind of remembers all that. And so like, she moved me to the back seat. She was driving, obviously. She put her seatbelt on. I didn't have my seatbelt on because I was just like gone. She drove us to a store because she wanted to get napkins to clean me up. The store was closed. So she drove us back to her place, got napkins, cleaned me up, and then she wanted to drive me back to my place. And that's where we get into the accident. So she was, the reason I say she a lot is because she was the one driving, by the way, but I don't blame her for anything because I feel that we're both at fault for this, by the way. That's a disclaimer. So she was driving up the ramp to one of the freeways. And she drove across all lanes, because I remember I got the diagram afterwards, but she crossed all three lanes, I believe. and she went into, like, I think the embankment or something, and the car rolled 4 times. And so, you know, obviously, yeah, it rolled.
Oh my God.
It landed upside, though.
Okay.
But, yeah, so it rolled, and then I was injured. Like, I was pretty messed up. She also was injured. Her ribs were pretty sore afterwards. She fractured her nose. But my injuries were worse because I wasn't wearing a seatbelt. Yeah, I'm lucky I wasn't thrown out of the car, too.
Thing number two, wear a seatbelt. We're learning a lot here on We Have Cool Friends.
Oh, yeah. Please wear a seatbelt. Yeah, so what happened was, yeah, they found us. I don't know. I'm assuming, like, someone called the police or something. And then they called my dad. He didn't pick up because he was sleeping. He sleeps very early. He works in the mornings, like 5 a.m. Or he gets up at 4 a.m., sorry, but he starts at 5. And so he didn't answer. And then so they called my next emergency contact, which is my aunt. And she drove to my dad super fast and was like, Lucy was in an accident. Like, we have to go. And they had told her on the phone, we don't think she's going to make it. Like, we need like a parent to get here. God. Yeah. And I can't even imagine what it felt like for my dad to get that call. Like, I just, I think about it and I get all emotional now.
Damn.
No, it was terrible. So yeah, they drove to the hospital. My dad said the first thing he saw when he came was me on the gurney or something. Mm-hmm. Something like that. And they were taking me in for my femur surgery because that was the one that was important. So like I said, I broke my femur, my pelvis, my spine, but the biggest part of why I was rushed in and why I was dying was because I had a contusion in my left lung. And so my breathing was a problem. And so they rushed me and what did they say? They're coding something like that. So it was a code red or something. And so I was there for like hours. And I remember my family telling me that too. And
that's the other key thing that I remember hearing is that you weren't awake for this.
No, I was not awake for this. And you know what I think about it too? I'm like, what if I had died? Like, my last memory would have just been me, like, in the restaurant. And so one thing, like, then I'm with my friend, and then the next thing I know, I'm opening my eyes and I see my dad over me, and I can't talk. So there, because I was being intubated. And so I was kind of like freaking out because I felt like something was in my throat, and I've never been intubated before. So I thought I was like choking or something. And everybody tells me that I was restrained because I kept moving, and I thought I was like up. Like I thought I was up and like trying to talk or something, but I was restrained the whole time. They had to restrain my arms, and my leg was also being like held by like this hook, like through the skin. It was weird.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was weird. I was wearing like a neck brace and everything. I didn't break my neck, but they figured, you know, she broke so much, she probably broke her neck. My dad was over me, and he was kind of like, it's okay. You were in an accident. The car flipped 4 times is what he said. He kept saying flip. He said the car flipped 4 times. And I was kind of like, I remember the first thought though, when I opened my eyes was, oh, this is really bad.
Yeah.
Cause I have a bad history of drinking and blacking out. And I have many stories. I've lost many friends, like, and broken friendships to that. So,
lesson number three. Be careful how much you drink.
Oh, yeah. Don't black out, you know. And if you're going to black out, make sure the person with you is not also blacked out. So, yeah, I was out of all the times that I blacked out, I remember thinking when I woke up, I was like, yeah, this is the worst time. Like, this is not good. And so I kept, like, closing my eyes and, like, my friend. So my friend, what happened to my friend was she was rushed to the hospital too, you know, check out injuries. And then a policeman or something like that was with her the whole time because she was drunk and she was the one driving, even though we both were drunk. You know, it was both our faults. It wasn't just her fault just because she was driving. You know, like I say in Healing Version 2, the only difference is she had the keys. Okay. So she was with the policeman, and then she went to jail for the night. I don't know how much I can say about her side because I know that I do want to like respect her.
Let's keep it on you.
Yeah, let's keep it on me. Okay, so but But anyway, she wasn't in jail anymore because when I opened my eyes, she was standing in front of me, and she kept saying that she felt sorry. So I always say that a lot of my pain was physical and a lot of hers was emotional because she felt like anybody would with a friend, like guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So she kept saying that, and I kept trying to speak through the tubes and saying like, it's okay, it's okay. And she knew what I was trying to say. And so it's funny too, because everything I'm saying now about the accident was everything I was saying immediately after the accident in the hospital. Like, it's not your fault, it's both of our faults. But I went through this weird thing this after the accident when I was in the rehab facility for 2 weeks, and then like the following months just like healing and recovering at my dad's. I went through a lot of anger and like a lot of, you know, pointing fingers, and then over time I've come to the realization that, you know, it was on me, you know, I take accountability for what happened and I don't blame her at all.
I mean, man, well, I'm happy you're still with us, and I'm happy you have recovered as much as you have. It's insane. I mean, you're walking again, like your lung was punctured and like you're a rapper. That's tough, man. Oh. Breath control is such a major thing. How has that affected you?
I was afraid when I thought I couldn't I also thought in my head like, oh my God, I lost my voice. And so I was afraid for a second, like, okay, I'm alive, but if I don't have a voice, then I don't have a career. Mm-hmm. So that was a thought that crossed my mind, but I haven't had any issues with my breathing since.
That's because awesome.
I've healed. So, yeah. I mean, I count my blessings every day.
I mean, and that is something, if you guys haven't heard any Lucy Camp music, like I said earlier, she's one of the most technically proficient rappers I have ever heard. And under the tutelage of Tone Deaf, that makes a lot of sense. But one of my favorite songs is called Be You, and it has you and Tone and Fier, who's also an amazing singer, all on one song. And you totally are just neck and neck right there with Tone, who is a veteran in this shit, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolute
and it's just so impressive to see you at such a young age just continue to be able to do this. And hearing this new EP, which at least a lot of, if not all of, right, was recorded after the accident. And you're just, you're still killing it. Like, it's insane.
Thank you, Tim. I was actually listening to a live recording of BU last night. Well, Maya recorded like me and Tone in the studio, and you can hear me rapping the whole verse. And I remember like thinking like, damn, like I really do say a lot in that verse. Like I'm like, okay, yeah, I got to brush up again.
Well, you know, that's actually something that I wanted to bring up, because like, not only am I a fan of you, but Gia's a fan of you. And that's not something that is always true when it comes to rap music. She likes rap, but she's not like super into it or whatever. But she is very into language and writing. And when I first told her that we were going to work on your music video, she was super excited, and she wanted to see the lyrics to The Heart Dies. And she was like blown away by it. Like, she was reading it, she's just like, this is beautiful. And like the level of craftsmanship that you have for your words is so next level. But that's the thing, is like, and I was telling her after the EP came out, when I was talking about the BU song, where I was like, she says so much. And I don't just mean literally there's a bazillion syllables in this, but what you're actually saying, there's substance behind it. And it isn't just kind of like, it's like, it sounds like that. Yeah. But when you listen to it and read alongside, you're like, oh shit, there's some stuff here.
I went through that phase. I think that a lot of technical rappers go through that phase, like in their early work, where it's a lot of like, lyrical miracle, you know, you're just rhyming to rhyme in a way. Cause I look back and I'm like, what am I saying? And like all my older stuff, like I knew what I was saying, but then I don't even know how people understood what I was saying. And that's the beauty of music though. People interpret it the way that they want. But as time has gone on, I've gotten a lot more cohesive with my work. And I'm really proud of my new EP, Someday Maybe, because I feel that it's one of the most concisive, like, you know, it's one of the most clear pieces that I've created. Like, I feel like even if you're not a fan of technical rap, it's very like, first listen, like you'll understand what I'm saying.
I mean, and, you know, actually,
so proud go for of that. It.
Okay. Want to like go through some of your projects. And because another thing I mentioned about you earlier is that, like, how versatile it all is, and like how every project kind of seems like it has its own vibe that is so different from the last thing. Like back in the day when you were doing the Cypher Effect stuff and your Virago EP mixtape, what would you call that?
First mixtape. Yeah.
That was you on some, I'm just going to say, little kid shit. Like that's kind of what you're talking about here, where it's like, you're saying a lot, but like, it's just, it sounds cool more than it's actually saying something, yeah, right?
It's that backpack rap.
It's that, that backpack rap, which, hey, I had such a place in my heart for. But then, you kind of give us like a run through of the different projects and like what their vibes are and what you were trying to accomplish with them.
Well, I think with Virago, it's very like teenage, like angst kind of. I wrote it when I was 17, 16, some of the tracks. I was heartbroken over a relationship in high school. And so I just wrote a whole mixtape and like a lot of it is about that one person, but I also got to just rap and just talk my shit. So I was like happy about it. Yeah. So I would say that's very much like you said, like backpack rap, just talking, you know, just rapping a rap.
Yep. Rapping a rap.
Rapping a rap. And Whispers, like that's the first EP that I came out with. I mean, sorry, Down Talk. Down Talk's the first EP that I came out with Tone. And we just like that was just finding my sound in the beginning and kind of seeing what worked between him and I as a producer and me as an artist. And so we were just kind of trying different things. And I describe it as a self-reflective EP, but I feel like all my EPs are very self-reflective.
Yeah.
And then this is the one
with BU on it, the song that I was talking about.
Yes, this is the one with BU on it. And 16 is on there. It's not on Spotify due to copyright, but it is one of the songs that I put out that really, I guess, like, not blew up, but did pretty well.
I'd say it blew up. What's it at now? It's like 500,000 views. Like, it's a dope video too. Yeah, no, that's super cool. So, okay, so after Down Talk.
Yeah, Whispers, and that's kind of on the similar vibe to Down Talk. Tone and I were just kind of still figuring it out, and it has a dark kind of vibe to it. It's very much like Whispers, you know, when people talking in the background, talking in my head. I have an intro for Whispers, I have an intro for Down Talk. So for the intro for Whispers is kind of just like me as an artist, I guess, in responding to the people saying things in my ear, haters, things like that. So it's Whispers. And then the next project, I think it was, see, I've released so much music. I'm like,
you really, really have. It was Summer Camp. I have the list right here. Summer Camp EP. Yeah.
I adore Summer Camp. Like I listen to it out of nostalgia now because it was such a great time for me. And like, I was moving out of my like house and I was gaining my independence as like a 21 year old. And I went to New York and Tone and I worked for like a week and we shot like 3 or 4 videos and all this like B-roll and pictures and things like that. And so, and I got to bring my friend Milan along. Shout out Milan. She's like my friend here. We went to high school together and we've been friends since. She's a makeup artist. She's super good. Yeah, so Milan Triste Luna _ I think on Instagram. Shout out.
Shout out. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, she's dope, but, and she really did a lot of looks for that EP.
She did all the makeup for you in the music video we did too.
Oh yeah, so,
I remember there, she was hanging out the whole time. Yeah. That's she's great. A trooper. But Summer Camp EP, a shout out that I want to give about it is I think that it's a good one to give a shot if you aren't necessarily into rap or traditionally into this type of music, because it very much has like a super dope 80s synth sound.
It's
like
a vibe. It's an absolute vibe.
It's a vibe, man. Like it's some Nick Scarpino shit for sure.
It is. Yeah. It is 80s like synth. And I was so excited to work on that project. Like every song on that project flowed. Like it came out so naturally. And I think that I found kind of a knack for synth. I guess like genres like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was dope. Working on that project and like getting to sing more. I know that you know, you're always gonna have supporters that are like, don't sing, you know, just rap, do backpack rap, just straight rap. And And like, I have music for those supporters, and I also want music for, you know, me, you know, I like to sing, yeah. And I like to do that. And I love the tracks like In the Night, Disguise.
In the Night goes way too fucking hard. There's like, I would say 2/3 through the song, like when you start like actually rapping and the beat just starts hitting, it's just like Barrett said, it's a vibe.
And that specific part, yeah. I think it's there's that part, and I think also in Lies there's a really good part that were like seriously some of my favorite sequences in any music that had come out that year. It was so good. That was like regular commuting music for me all the time.
It's dope. And sweet. And I want to say too.
No, I love Lies.
I want to say there was a I'm blanking on the name right now, but the lead single for it for the Summer Camp EP.
Lead single, I think that was Disguise.
Hold on. I'm blanking right now. What were the other songs on Summer Camp?
There's Disguise, Lies, Marigolds, In the Night.
The other one. there's one more.
Oh.
There's Summer Love and Stars.
Stars.
Summer Love. Oh, yeah. Summer Love and Stars.
Stars. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. Because that was the one featuring someone else, right?
Yeah, Nico Pink. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay, exactly.
Listen to Nico Pink.
That's the song I'm talking about. That was the first time that I heard you have fun with the song. And I thought that was a real big kind of moment that me personally, having seen you kind of grow up a little bit in the music, like I was saying, like seeing you put out that song, I was like, oh shit. Like it took the two EPs working with Tone, but she's finding her voice that you're comfortable enough to just have fun. Just be there. And like, it's rappity rap, but it's coming from a place of actually meaning something instead of just being like, it sounds fun, but it also sounds fun.
Yeah. No, I love that track. Nico Pink, the singer, her name's Africa. They're from Australia. She's been a fan of mine since I think Virago or around that era.
That's rad.
We talked online, and then I was like, her Nico Pink's, they have like a project. I'm blanking on the name. They have an EP. It's their very first EP from a while back. And it's kind of on that wave of like, it feels like kind of synth
glam pop, like
something like that. Yeah. So Tone and I were talking. We were like, just put Africa on it. And we just asked her to film like a video of herself like singing. And then we just put it in the projector. But I'm like, I do thank like Tone for kind of helping me find my voice through those first two projects, and I don't regret anything on those projects. They got me to where I'm here, like where I'm at now. And so I had a lot of fun writing that track and recording that track. I was going to sing the hook, but I was like, yeah, it sounds so much better if she sings.
So something that was kind of going on throughout all of these, but I think really around this time, was your free verse series. That to me is another example of you just having fun going for people's throats. I think it's like super accessible because it's a Twitter video. It's 1 minute of you just going in.
Oh yeah. Before I started my free verse series, I did have like a short rap series before I met Tone, and I would have short rap number one, short rap number two. And so Tone and I talked, and we both agree on like free verse freestyle. Some people like they use both. Some people prefer to use the word freestyle, but I think for me, it gets a little confusing. So I like to say free verse because it's like, yeah, it's a verse. It's not off like the top, but whatever, you know, it's still
off
like
the
a
dough.
Verse. Yeah. and I'm talking about whatever I want to talk about. And I love doing the free verses because for me, I'm always like my projects or my songs are centered around a topic. And for free verses, I can just like say, yeah, like, you know, I do this. And then, yeah, like I after B, you know, like things like that. Like I can just talk my shit.
And so that's kind of something that I love too, is I would recommend everybody go listen to this entire series because they're all so dope and they're all so different. But I think that you see a lot of the hints of them in the different projects, in the different EPs. But again, like going through your growth of the changes that happened in your life, right? Like I feel like around the Campfire mixtape, which is the next one, it started getting a little bit more personal, but it was about you starting to tell your story. And, you know, we have you here for the Hispanic Heritage Week. Like you started talking a lot more about about that and started dropping in some Spanish every here and there, and the free verses especially, kind of like going hard on that shit. Like, what did that all mean to you?
Well, I remember I was in New York with Tone, and we were talking about culture and like all that, and he was like, you know, where are you from? I'm like, east side of San Jose. He's like, you know, you should rep for your city. And I was like, yeah, like I should rep for my city, and I should rep and from where I come from, because a lot of people, I mean, I know I'm not too much in the San Jose music scene, and I know there's a lot of artists around here, but I'm not connected to too many. So I just wanted to write about my background, and east side came out of that. I loved shooting that. I shot everything and edited everything. Tone helped here and there, you know, he does his little like titles and stuff, but
effects and stuff.
Gotta credit him.
Gotta love it, man.
yeah. But no, I just wanted to show people where I'm from, because I'm from the east side of San Jose, and I didn't like, I grew up with a household, a Mexican household, my super Mexican abuela, and like my dad speaks English, but you know, he speaks Spanish. He's a Mexican. He's proud. He's from Morelia, Michoacan. My mom is also from Morelia, Michoacan. They immigrated. They immigrated here, and so they wanted to start a life for us, a better life for us. And so I just want to show where I come from. I feel like it's important to not forget where you come from.
Hell yeah. And it comes through so strongly in your music and in the visuals. And another thing I want to like shout out, going back to the, you just having fun, as a fan and as a friend, somebody that's just kind of been there on the outside, and as a fan and friend of Tone Dip as well. Like, I love seeing the kind of shift where it went from, it seemed like he was kind of like producing you and helping you shoot everything, to you just being like, fuck this, I got a camera, I'm gonna make this shit happen, I'm gonna give my friend the camera, and we're just gonna go out and have fun. And it comes across so much, and like I feel like that authenticity has really went a long way in kind of making your music feel like even more as you kind of grow. When it comes to the campfire mixtape, why was that a mixtape as opposed to all the other ones being EPs?
Because it was a collection of songs over the years, and it felt like I thought everything was fire on that mixtape, as any artist would say about their work. And so, but like there was no theme, you know, there was no like, all these songs are centered around this. They were just all about whatever. And so like, for me, mixtapes are just like collection of random songs. And mm-hmm. so like, that's why I call it a mixtape. And I feel like my debut album will be centered around something. It will have a theme. And mm-hmm. so for me, Campfire is what it is, a collection of songs that are fire.
Hell yeah. I love that. I love it. I love it so much. So then after that, you have your new one that just came out just a couple weeks ago called Someday Maybe. And first off, it's fantastic. But second off, I love this one in particular, because there's like another huge growth for you, where over the last couple, there's you kind of moving out for the first time, like you were talking about, and dealing with all that. But I think that this one is a new era of Lucy kind of coming into your own, both in the terms of your healing and being able to, you're now in a much better place physically. You're able to kind of reflect on all that, but also I feel like you're a little bit like happier as a person now that you are in a relationship.
Oh yeah. I am in a relationship, and that's so funny, because I'm just going to say, I didn't want to say it, but like my I'm with a girl, my girlfriend and I, we actually met on Tinder, and had the accident not happened, we probably would not be talking, because my bio said I have a crazy story to tell. And so like we matched, and first thing she asked me was like, what's the crazy story? And then like I told her, and like all that stuff happened. So, you know,
I love seeing you seem as happy as you've been on your social with all this stuff. But I know, again, having seen you for so many years now, kind of like go through the stuff, like you are now with a woman. Was that always something that you kind of knew, or is this a newer development?
I knew I liked girls, because I'm bisexual. I like guys and girls, but I knew I had feelings for girls in the third grade when I started to have a crush on a friend. We're actually still friends. She's actually in the East Side video. So like I had feelings for her, and I was so mean to her. Like I was the worst. I bullied her in third grade, and I was just like, I made her cry. And I know now I did it because I didn't know how to like deal with those feelings of liking a girl. And then also growing up in a traditional Mexican household where it's the man is with the woman. And I was very closeted. And so in high school, I had a girlfriend, and a lot happened between us where it became a thing where like people were calling us lesbians, and she felt uncomfortable with it. And in the end, she was kind of still finding herself. And we ended the relationship, and she just was like, I'm straight, I'm not gay. And so for me, that was like a slap in the face at the time. And like being like 15, 16, thinking like, well, that sucks for me because I don't know who I am still. And mm-hmm. so like me thinking, okay, maybe I should be with a guy, or, you know, she opted out, maybe I should do the same. But I started to explore more of my sexuality when I was like 20, just talking to girls, still talking to guys. And then over the years, like hooking up with both genders and just kind of doing all that, getting on Tinder. wait, by the way, someone is catfishing as me on Tinder, and I hate that so much.
No, that fucking sucks. Don't be creepy. Don't be weird. Come on, man.
Yeah. They put me that I go to some kind of college, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. Because I dropped out. So I'm like, oh, that's giving me a college education.
Hey, that's a come up. That's so funny. How has music kind of been there for you? And let me rephrase that. How has music changed now that you are in this happy public relationship and you are recovered from the accident and you are moved out from your parents' house? Like, I feel like that's just, and on top of that, like, I feel like you've really kind of found your voice.
Oh yeah, I have. I know what I want to do now. I'm very like, if I could compare myself to 18-year-old me, like the difference is crazy. Not just like look wise, I look better, but like, you know, just, like in terms of personality. I guess now I feel like I can write about anything. Like I don't feel like I had, because I used to in high school, I used to just refrain from pronouns. Like when I would rap about a girl, I wouldn't say like she really like too much. So I know that for some of my supporters, it was a little bit of a shock when they found out that I am into women. They were kind of like, oh, like some of them were like, that's cool. Others were like, it's not cool. But I mean, everyone's going to have opinions. So I just feel like I can kind of be myself in my music now and just, you know, and maybe be a little bit careful in my free verses. You know, my girlfriend listens to like when I talk my shit.
You know, can like, we talk about these hoes?
Yeah, she's like, who's your bitch?
Is that, are you talking about me? That's yeah. So funny. I love that.
No, she's actually really cool though. She's always like, talk your shit, like talk about bitches, whatever.
Let's go.
Like,
okay, yeah,
sweet, let's go. Yeah, that's I'm so happy funny. To be in a healthy relationship that allows me to do that. But yeah, like I said, I feel like I can just be me.
That's awesome. Nice. Before we move on real quick, I do want to tell you about our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by HBO Max, specifically all of the amazing spooky Halloween content they got going on over there. As we all know, Halloween's going to look a little bit different this year as we continue to adhere to social distancing guidelines, but you can still keep the Halloween spooky spirit alive. And that's why we've partnered with HBO Max this Halloween season. HBO Max has so many classic Halloween films now streaming, like The Haunting, Night of the Living Dead, and The Curse of Frankenstein. But they also have a ton of more modern classics, I would call them, like The Invisible Man, Us, Ready or Not, It Chapter 2. All of them are available now for you to watch. If you haven't seen Invisible Man, check it out. It is amazing. An amazing movie. HBO Max has so many Halloween films now streaming, from bone-chilling scares to family favorite moments. HBO Max's vast library is here to serve up some jump screams and some old traditional fun, you know? If you have the guts to stream this Halloween season, sign up for your 7-day free trial on HBO Max by heading to bit.ly/HBO Max kinda. That's bit.ly/HBO Max kinda. Check them out. Also, shout out to Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. If you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary lending platform that knows that you are more than just a credit score. Now's the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't even need a degree or diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000. So you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment, which is what one of my really good friends did. And just having the one place to pay just makes it a lot easier to wrap your head around, and it puts you in a much better financial position. You can free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/morning to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/morning. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. upstart.com/morning. Now back to it here. So a quick story I want to tell you, Lucy, that like it blew my mind, and it made me feel so good, because like I've been talking about in this episode many times in the past, it's like I feel like I owe so much to Tone and so much to just kind of the vision that he's had and all of this stuff. And one of the most rewarding moments I've had of my career was when in 2017, we went to RTX Australia. So we got to go to Australia for a show. It was awesome. Greg and I went. And we were doing a meet and greet, and there was a long line of best friends out there. And this guy, Jake Cochrane, who I've seen a million times in comments on our videos and stuff. I was like,
Jake.
Oh shit. I actually get to meet you. Like, hey, what's up, man? Like,
this I see is him so all awesome. The time online.
And he was like, dude, thank you so much for putting me on to Lucy Camp. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, it made me so happy where I'm like, oh my God, I'm so happy that I have a platform that I can kind of, that my opinion matters enough that people are going to be like, oh, if Tim thinks they're dope, I should give them a shot. And I see him now every single time you put out a new project. I see because on Bandcamp, on lucycamp.com, you can see a like supported by and like who bought it. And Jake's always right there, man. He's always supporting, always buying stuff. Like, and I just like, it warms my heart. Jake. Hell yeah, man. And that's the thing is, there's a lot of people like him. There's a lot of best friends out there that, that the Kind of Funny community shows up for you, Lucy. And I love to see it. Have you noticed a lot of that?
Oh yeah. I just want to say that I love the Kind of Funny community, by the way. Like when I was at the 2017, I think, show,
KFL 3,
the energy there was crazy. Yeah. The energy was crazy. Like everyone was just united. And like, I remember I was talking to my friend and I think we were being too loud and someone was like, can you guys be quiet? And I'm like, oh my bad. Like, you know, like everyone's there for you guys. And I love that. And so it's really nice when your supporters kind of, I guess, come on to my music and like then become a supporter of mine. Like, I think that's a beautiful thing. Like the influence that you have and like the fact that you guys call them friends, you know, Kind of Funny friends, and everyone's just like one big happy community. Yeah, and like, that's the same thing I want to do. Like, that's the same thing that like I feel with my supporters. So
hell yeah. And you know, and with that, I have to call out that there is a fun special announcement that you're making right now that I think is very relevant to people that have followed Kind of Funny.
Oh yeah. So I wanted to announce that I am coming out with a Patreon, and it is launching today.
Right now. It's live. As people right are watching now, this, it's live.
It's live. There's going to be so many. I mean, for a lot of people that are subscribed to, or I'm not sure, you become a member of a Patreon, there's a lot of things that you're going to get from me. And it goes from like acapellas, instrumentals, like breakdowns of lyrics, all of that. And it's a community that I created. It's called Camp XO. So if you're a supporter of mine, like, and you want to become a member, or you're not a supporter of mine, you're from Kind of Funny and you want to become a member of my Patreon, like, I encourage it, because as an artist, I just want to connect with my supporters. And I feel the Patreon is where I'm going to be able to do that to the fullest extent. You can get private Q&As, like monthly or seasonal concerts, like a bunch of things, and even monthly Freeverses, exclusive access to the monthly Freeverses, exclusive. I'm just saying. So that's yeah, rare. Like, you know, if you want to know what this whole EP is about, if you want to know what the other projects are about, and you want to see me rap them, like that's where you're going to be able to see all that. So I encourage everyone that's watching to become a member of my Patreon and join Camp XO.
Patreon. So it's patreon.com/LucyCamp. Right? Yes. Patreon.com/LucyCamp if you guys can support. And even if you guys can't support financially, still go check it out. But also check out LucyCamp.com. All the music's there for free to listen to. A ton of stuff is on Spotify, YouTube, a ton of fun music videos, all of that stuff. So it's like, it's not just a, if you have money, go support. If you do, it's going to be great. Yeah, there's going to be a ton of awesome stuff to get. Patreon.com/LucyCamp. Got to do all that.
I encourage it, but if you guys want to listen to my music, it's all there.
Well, so that's the thing, is I'm not letting you go yet. I still want to talk to you for a bit. So you're launching a Patreon, which is so awesome to me because I've been trying to get Tone to do it, to launch one for him for like 7 years at this point. And I'm just like, bro, come on, just do it. And I'm happy that he's been working with you on getting this out, because I think that, you know, your work ethic has already shown that you have the goods to give. You've put out so much music for ostensibly for free for so many years now, and you have so much more to go. So I'm really excited, because the free verses are, I think, some of my favorite thing you put out. So if we're getting exclusive stuff there on Patreon, that's worth it alone.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I've never done a Patreon before. Obviously, this is my first time. And I didn't even know what Patreon really was until, like, I talked to Tone about it. And I was like, wait, that's really cool. So we're doing that.
You're working a day job, right?
I am working a day job. And, I mean, I'm at the point where, like, the music pays for itself. And so, like, you know, I keep my day job. I pay my rent. I pay my bills, all of that. And so I'm just like, the music pays for itself. And I just, all the money I make, even like some from my day job, I put it back into the music. So I don't mind it, like, you know, but it would be cool to do it full time and have more time to do it through Patreon.
I don't know if you can say anything or if you want to say anything more, but so what can you say about your debut album?
There's a lot of songs that we've scrapped, and we're just putting them, you know, as B-sides or from another project or something. But it's been it's a work in progress. But it's very, very, like, everything I put out is personal, but this is extremely personal to me because it goes over a lot of my trauma growing up. So that's what I'll say.
There we go. It's
very.
Well, talk about stuff that's already out that people can go see. What are some of your favorite music videos that you've done that you can go find at youtube.com/LucyCamp?
Well, I love that. The Disguise video. The Disguise video was really dope. Me and Tone, he came up with the beat one night. I'm like speaking as if like, I feel like I say things and I'm like, nobody's like knowing what I'm talking about. Like my thoughts are super fast. Okay. So yeah. So we like came up with the beat one night. He had like the melody for the hook was just the melody. He didn't have like drums or anything like that. And I was like, that sounds like it could be a synthwave track. And so he was like, wait. And so he added the drums. And so we came up with the beat. He was like, if you write something by tonight, then we can actually go out and film a video for it. And so I was like, bet. Yeah, so because I came up with the hook super quick, and then I got the verses. We went out. We were in New York. We went to different places. It was cold. It was so cold.
New York.
I just want to say that you never forget how cold things are when you're shooting videos. Like the hard dyes, I was freezing.
Oh my god, I felt so bad for you. It was we were out near the Bay Bridge for that at like. Literally, it was sunrise. Like, we were there before sunrise setting up, and we were there so long. Oh, my God.
I was wearing a skirt. Oh, God. Yeah. Barefoot.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, so the Disguise video is really dope because Tone did a thing in the video where it's very, like, everything is rotating. Like, the whole video is kind of just the camera going around me. And so it looks really cool. And I love the colors and just, like, it's a vibe. I love that whole video. It's one of my favorite videos. And also the Oh My video that I shot with Zoo DeVille. He's a director, rapper. He's really dope. You guys should check him out. But yeah. The Oh My video was really nice to shoot. Aside from like working with...
I don't know if we could show this one. Actually, yeah, we can. No, I'm joking, Barrett. We can.
Okay, I mean, it's fine. I just know it's a steamy one. I just know it's steamy.
But yeah. Just play a little bit there, though, Barrett.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. They were so hot.
Yeah, you killed it with this.
Thank you. It was cool. Milan did the makeup. Also, Frances, one of the girls in the video, she also did the makeup. She did the eyeshadow, hair. She's really good at what she does. And so I just thought like the vibe, everybody, all the girls were so sweet. Everyone got along. There was never like a weird like vibe, like where, oh, she's a bitch or anything like that. Like everyone was just cool. So
yeah,
I really liked shooting that. And it came out really dope. Like Zoo is so good at what he does.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Nah, I think all your videos are super rad. Even the Freeverse ones. I love that they all have their kind of unique personality to them. And they're kind of just these like, minute long, just like in and out song video moments that are just super dope.
Oh yeah, I like editing the Freeverse videos. Like I just clip them together and Tone adds like the lyrics, but I like doing those because some of them were shot on my iPhone. I didn't have a camera at the time. I have a camera now, but I like doing that because it was kind of easy. Like Freeverse, My Money Freeverse, that one was like really easy and like quick to do. I wrote that verse so fast too, and it was actually one of the verses that kind of like in a sense like blew up on like TikTok and Instagram.
Oh, that's right.
So
yeah,
really cool.
So earlier I was talking about how right before your accident you were set up to do your first live show, and then the accident happened, you didn't get to do it. One day you're gonna be able to do stuff live. You're gonna be, I mean, and look, you come back and then there's a damn pandemic. Like, come on, can you catch a break? But
I
one
was
day,
like, wow.
All this will be over. You'll be able to perform live. What three songs are you so stoked to do live on stage in front of a crowd?
Three songs. I really want to do Busy. That's one of my free verses. I like it because it's high energy and the hook is high energy. And it's just like, and I'm rapping in Spanglish in that one. So that's definitely one of them. And actually I think off of Whispers, the title track Whispers, it's a like that live, I know that would be really, really dope. And like I'm rapping all fast in that one, so I would be excited to do that one. But also not only just that, but like Dirty off of my new EP Someday Maybe, is it's very like chill and just kind of like
bouncy.
We keep saying vibe, yeah, uh-huh. Bouncy, and just like I feel like everyone in the crowd would like that, so I'm excited to perform those tracks in the future maybe.
what are some frequently asked questions that you're just like, I just, here are the answers, stop asking me?
What do I get? Because I always do questions on Instagram. Well, I do get the question, are you single? A lot, but not anymore because I've been posting a lot about my relationships. Yeah, I'm not single. Another thing, why did you stop going by your old rap name? I just want to say that my first rap name was given to me by my hip hop teacher, Rahman Jamal, one of my inspirations for rap when I was a freshman in high school. And I switched to Lucy Camp because I worked on Virago with a producer named Dublin Beats. And he was like, you need something that's, you know, because Lucid, there's so many Lucids out there, like online. And I hadn't realized. And he was like, you need something more personal. And he came up with Lucy Camp. And at first I was kind of like resistant. I was like, that's kind of whack. and then like after 2 minutes I was like, wait, yeah, I like that. So I changed everything to Lucy Camp and I have it trademarked and I went with that because it's more personal to me. I mean, Camp is the first four letters of my last name, and so that is me, and my family calls me Lucy. My name is Luce, my family calls me Lucy, and so it's nice, like getting it feels like I'm closer to my supporters when they call me that, or when people just call me Lucy, or people call me Camp. And I feel like Camp XO, it's like, how can I make Camp XO with Lucid? Like, that was my other name. Like, this doesn't make any sense.
I'm trying to think if I have anything else. You know, I think now's a good time to move on to the friend zone, where you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write in your questions. Mitch Crayson says, what do you consider your biggest and best work? Not necessarily numbers or reception wise, but just a personal thing to you.
My new EP, Someday Maybe. And the reason is because aside from like healing on the track, there's another song on the project called El, and that is about my dad. And I would not have written that song had the accident not happened, because the accident brought my dad and I closer together. And I've never been this close to my dad before. I've never had this kind of relationship with him. And I think it's kind of like a mutual sense of like we almost lost each other. So It's nice like that I have that with him. El is very like personal to me. All the songs on the track are personal to me, but this song is like I cried when I made the hook, and I'm actually working on shooting that right now. So
oh, awesome. Why is it called El? E-L,
El, by the way. El, because El is like him, you know, like that him, like I just wanted it to be about him, and I wanted it to be in Spanish because it does have a Spanish flair in the track. I wanted it to be representative of my dad's roots too. And that's kind of what the video is going to be too, you know, like him being a Mexican man and raising my brother and I and his other kids, and just kind of in a way, because him and my mom separated. And so like I only got to see my mom a few times kind of growing up, like staying with her. But my dad was the one that I was around all the time. And so our relationship is just like I wanted it to be him. It's all him. That's why I have a pin too. If you get the I can show it. You can't see it, but he's like
a thug. There he is. That's rad.
Yeah.
Jason Hales writes in, and we kind of answered this a little bit, but in a very specific way. Are you doing okay after your accident? Thanks for the awesome music.
Oh yeah. Thank you for asking. I have gone through a lot of ups and downs within myself and kind of with my friend. And like I said, I won't speak too much on her end, but for me, it's been very transformative. I think in the beginning I was resistant, thinking, oh, my life didn't change really. Like I'm still the same person. I even say that in the video where I explain the accident on my YouTube channel, Camp Stories Number 2, but it did change me. Like I'm really not the same person. And I look back too at the time and I'm like, what was I doing? Like, who was I? And maybe sometimes it takes a life-threatening accident to like do that to you, but I'm not the same person. But I'm okay now. Like I'm in such a better place now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm okay. Thank you for asking.
And then the last one we got here, and again, this kind of goes over some things, but I wanted to read this because I really appreciate Soul Porpoise here, who I'm looking over at your Bandcamp now, and I see that he also supported you and. His review of Someday Maybe is on the Bandcamp. So good job, yes. Soul Porpoise. You're being awesome.
Thanks for that review.
For Lucy, first off, thank you for making some of my favorite music over the past few years. I started listening back in 2016 and I got hooked with BU. Low off the Whispers EP was my most played song of 2017. And I used a couple summer camp EP tracks in my wedding playlist last year. I'll always be a part of the camp. Okay, enough gushing, I suppose. Now that you're over a year out from the crash, how do you think it's affected your music, whether it's the process, the lyrics, tone, style, etc.? Healing V1 and V2 definitely show growth and change since last year, and I'm wondering how you feel that's manifested in other tracks that aren't so explicitly tied to what happened. Thanks for taking my question and for being a cool friend to Kinda Funny. Can't wait for the full LP to drop.
First of all, thank you for the support. That's crazy. I appreciate it. Well, so I remember people telling me that I talked about the accident a lot, which I did. But to be fair, it was very traumatic for me. And I was in bed for two months, you know, and just all I could do was write. And so I have a lot of pieces that actually talk about the accident, like little bits here and there, like even free verses. But I've kind of over like the few months, I've just kind of like refrained from putting out too much. I'm at a point now where I don't want to put too much out about it, but it is everywhere with me. I have a tattoo. You can't see it. I have a tattoo 11 for the day that it happened. The accident happened August 11th. And because I do carry it, like what happened to me everywhere. Like it is a part of me because it's who I am now. And so I feel like in my music, I do think about it's weird. I do think about the accident every time I write something now. And because it's just like, how do you not like channel that you know, there's so many things that I could say. Like, I could talk about, it's so annoying. I could talk about the accident forever because it's just like, it's such a, I'd never gone through anything like that before. So,
I mean, few people, and I hope that very few people do in the future. Like, it was crazy, man. And like I've said a couple times now, I'm so happy that you are here right now, starting with that. But I'm so happy that you're able to still do what you love, and that you've taken this opportunity to kind of like grow as much as you have from it all, and to put that love and stuff back into the music. And thank you for everything. I've listened to your music for hours and hours and hours over the last couple of years, and I will continue to do so for the rest of my life. So same. Thank you, Lucy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And also, there you go. Like, with your updates post accident and stuff, and seeing you recover over the last year is just really inspiring. And you've kicked ass beforehand, and you've kicked so much ass since. And you're an amazing person and artist. And I think both Tim and I can agree. Like, we hope to see you continue to grow and keep kicking ass and taking names.
Thank you so much.
Hell yeah. And we got to have you at a Kind of Funny Live one day. We'll make it happen.
It's going to
be
hype.
It's going to be dope. But until then, Lucy, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram, all my socials under the handle LucyCampXO. If you want to check out my discography, you can look up LucyCamp.com to check out my Bandcamp, or you can go to my Spotify, which is just LucyCamp. So that's where you can find me.
Lucy, come on. I teed you up for this.
I have a Discord, and I also am launching a Patreon. So find me there.
Patreon.com/LucyCamp. Get on it. Best friends, we need to show up for this one. But real quick, the Discord, actually, that is a cool thing. So you recently launched the Discord for community, for what's that for?
CampXO, for all my supporters, if they just want to talk about, you know, whatever they want. Like, we'll talk about movies, they want to talk about my projects and kind of have discussions with each other, or just kind of talk about their day, just talk to me, because I'm always in there and I'm always saying things to people. It's just like connecting us.
Hell yeah.
You know, aside from my music and projects, you know, I just want us to just be like, yeah, like the Kind of Funny Friends, you know, just us hanging out, just talking.
Hell yeah. I love it. All right, Lucy, I'm sure that we'll have you back on some show at some point. Hopefully it doesn't take as long as this has, but thank you for being a part of this. Again, thank you for doing it during the Hispanic Heritage Week. You're closing it out pretty much. I guess we have XCast going up on Saturday with Danny Pena, but you are you're the last weekday of content here. So thank you so much for that. Thank you for speaking on that experience. But everybody go support her. Lucy Camp XO on all the socials, lucycamp.com, patreon.com/LucyCamp. Until next time, love you.
Thanks
guys.
For having me.